Good morning, church family and friends. Good morning. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord together. The Psalms reminds us that gathering is a reason for rejoicing. And today, we choose joy. Whether you've been coming to church or coming here for years or walking in for the first time, you belong here. So just lay down your hurry of the week, take a deep breath, and let your heart sink into the presence of God. We are here today to sing, to pray, to listen, and to respond. We are here to meet with the Lord that loves us. So let us lift up our voices and welcome His work with us today. And so all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
I saw Bree and she messed me up. She did so well last time. All right, I wanted to make a few announcements. First, as you can tell, Brother Jason's not here today. So instead, Sister Ellen, there she is, Sister Ellen Houston Clark is going to be doing the sermon for us today. And then also next Sunday is Communion Sunday. Immediately following that is going to be a potluck lunch. And we will the theme's going to be salad and sandwiches. And so do you want to speak on that, Steve? No? Yeah. Is it furnished, or are we supposed to bring the salad and sandwiches? All right, so we're supposed to bring the sandwiches and bring the salads. And he'll furnish the drinks. All right. I am also pleased to announce that Rodney Richardson is the 2026-2027 recipient of Melanie's Bethel University Renaissance Scholarship. Is there anyone that wants to speak on about him?
Oh, we don't know. Well, we know the whole thing about how great he is. We established a scholarship, so most of you will remember in Melanie's memory, for the pianist at Bethel, for their group, their Renaissance group. And every year, we've raised enough money to give the scholarship $1,000 each year for 10 years. So we've got that, we raised it, and this is who they are awarding it to, selected it to. For this year. And from the write-up in the letter that they sent, he's a prodigy, he's wonderful, and he will be a great addition to the Renaissance group. And I'm sure Melanie would be pleased.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate that. Also, on Saturday, August the 8th, at 9 o'clock a.m., we're going to be doing a church work day. So everybody come, let's enjoy being together and do some work. And those who cannot work, please come and you can supervise. And then Glenn is bringing the leaf blower, and then I believe that Larry is going to be bringing the 6-foot ladder. Okay, so is there anything else you want to say about that, Bev? Sounds good. All right. And also, we're still having Christmas in July. And the list of the things that are needed are bottled water or gallon jugs of water, liters of soft drinks, deodorant, especially women's deodorant, Little Debbie snacks, toilet paper, and OxyClean. And then also, as a reminder, the choir will not be practicing on July the 30th, but will resume on August 6th. So with much joy and thanks, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Absolutely beautiful as always. If everyone can stand for the call to worship. Our call to worship is from Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Let us thank the Lord for his wonderful works to humankind. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you will always be with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom in life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, and for all that you've given. Help us set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your joy and peace. We love you, and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, so you heard what Mary said. We're here to sing, so let's do it. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh,
Our scripture of assurance is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. He put before them another parable, and that parable was, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Brother Jason wanted me to share with you some of his thoughts on this parable. His thoughts were that having a safe and good place to make nests does not mean that it won't be hot days where you just sweat all day. It doesn't mean that you won't have illness or death to endure. It doesn't mean that the world will be right all the time, or that there will be justice or righteousness to live in. It doesn't mean everything is going to be just fine and perfect. However, it does mean that there is a place in the world where we can make our nests, our homes, and know that the mustard bush does still protect us, for it is the one he made, and it is safe and good. Now, with joyous gratitude and thankfulness, let's sing a song of praise. Thank you so much for the gifts to the church. As you're aware, there are three ways of giving. You can do it online, or you can place it in this box at the back behind the pews, or of course you can do snail mail. So now I'm going to ask that Sister Ellen come and provide us with a sermon this morning.
Y'all don't let me forget my water up here. I'll have my emotional support water with me. Thank you. Yeah, I feel affirmed. Okay, good morning. Thank you for having me here this morning to be with you. We're going to get started with our scripture, and that will be from Luke 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After these things, the Lord commissioned 72 others and sent them on ahead in pairs to every city and place that he was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is bigger than you can imagine, and there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest. Go, be warned, though, that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Carry no wallet, no bag, and no sandals. Don't even greet anyone along the way. Whenever you enter a house, first say, 'May peace be on this house.' If anyone there shares God's peace, then your peace will rest on that person. If not, your blessing will return to you. Remain in this house, eating and drinking whatever they set before you, for workers deserve their pay. Don't move from house to house. Whenever you enter a city and its people welcome you, eat what they set before you. Heal the sick who are there and say to them, 'God's kingdom has come upon you.' Whenever you enter a city and people don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'As a complaint against you, we brush off the dust of your city that has collected on our feet. But know this, God's kingdom has come to you. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 72 returned joyously, saying, 'Lord, even the demons submit themselves to us in your name.' Jesus replied, 'I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority to crush snakes and scorpions underfoot. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice because the spirits submit to you. Rejoice instead that your names are written in heaven.'" This is the word of the Lord. There is something both exciting and intimidating about being sent. Some of you may know that I have recently been sent into motherhood. I know some of you, I recognize some of your faces, but it's been a minute since I've been here. Yes, this girl right here, this is my baby Rosie, and she is 9 months old, and I'm so happy to share her. Thanks, Alex, for getting us up. I knew that you were all going to ask for pictures, so, as you would want to. I mean, look at her. But many of you know from the experience of being a parent that as a parent, you are constantly being sent, charged with the task of nurturing them, supporting them, and some days just keeping them alive is really good. But as they change so much so quickly, there's always a new charge. In every new phase, we are being sent and have no idea, most of the time, what we are up against from day to day. And it is indeed exciting and intimidating. Both can be true at the same time. But, you know, there's many examples of this, and whether it's a child leaving home for college, a doctor starting a difficult shift at the hospital, a teacher preparing for the first day of school, or someone walking into a room of someone who is receiving hospice care, there is always a moment when we take a deep breath and we step into the unknown. Today's gospel begins with Jesus doing exactly that. He sends 72 disciples ahead of him into towns and villages where he himself intends to go. But notice something remarkable in this scripture. These are not just the 12 disciples. They're not just the people whose names we know. They are ordinary followers, regular Joes. They are people whose stories never made it into scripture. They are farmers and mothers, laborers and merchants, young and old. They are us. Jesus reminds us that discipleship is not reserved for a select few or the extraordinary. God's work has always depended on ordinary people willing to embody extraordinary love. But Jesus' instructions are surprising. He tells them to travel lightly, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and every day I carry more and more bags with more and more stuff, so that sounds really hard. But he tells them to depend upon hospitality. Receive what is offered. Stay where you are welcomed. Offer peace before anything else. In a way that might sound irresponsible in our world, idyllic, but maybe not practical. We are taught to prepare ourselves for every contingency, to protect ourselves, right? To build bigger savings accounts and stronger reputations and thicker emotional walls. Yet, Jesus sends his followers into vulnerability. Not because vulnerability is easy, but because vulnerability makes room for a relationship. The kingdom of God is not built through domination or control. It grows through trust, mutual care, and genuine human connection. Perhaps that is one of the greatest challenges for Christians today. We often imagine faith as having all the answers, but Jesus seems far more interested in teaching us how to trust while living with unanswered questions. The disciples are not sent carrying certainty. They are sent carrying peace. And that distinction matters. Jesus doesn't tell them, go and win arguments. He doesn't say, go convince everyone that you're right. He doesn't even tell them to try to fix every problem that they encounter. Instead, the very first gift that they offer, peace to this house. Not fear, not judgment, not superiority, peace. In Hebrew, the word is shalom. Shalom is, it's much richer than the absence of conflict, as we would define peace. It means wholeness, healing, justice, restored relationships, enough for everyone. It is the world as God intends it to be. Imagine what would happen if Christians became known first for bringing peace rather than fear of judgment. What if people expected compassion instead of condemnation? What if churches became places where weary people could finally breathe? Our world desperately needs peacemakers. Loneliness has reached epidemic proportions. Communities fractured by racism, families strained by misunderstanding, a creation groaning under environmental crisis. It is tempting to believe that we must solve everything before us, before hope is even possible. But here we see Jesus offers another way. Bring peace to the person in front of you. Heal who you can. Love your neighbor. Trust God with the rest. Sometimes we underestimate how transformative those small acts of peace can be. A sincere apology, maybe a meal shared across differences, a phone call to someone who might feel forgotten, standing beside those whose voices have been ignored, choosing compassion over winning or listening before speaking. These are not small things in the kingdom of God. These are seeds. Jesus also tells the disciples something difficult. Some places will not welcome them. And if that happens, shake the dust off your feet and move on. This isn't about giving up on people. It's about refusing to let rejection define your calling. How often do we carry around the dust of old wounds, that criticism that we can't forget that just lives in the back of our brain? Remembering the relationships that have ended painfully, failures that we replay over and over again, the mistakes that we cannot forgive ourselves for. We carry them from place to place until they become heavier than the mission itself. Jesus says there are times when faithfulness means releasing what no longer serves our life. Not because it never mattered, but because God has more road ahead, and we might just miss it. There are people still waiting for peace. There are communities still longing for hope. There is still work to do. The disciples eventually return, and they're overflowing with excitement. Even the demons submit to us, they proclaim. And Jesus rejoices with them, but then he gently redirects their attention. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't define yourself by success. Don't define yourself by power. Don't define yourself by measurable outcomes. We love to talk about measurable outcomes. Define yourself by belonging to God. And that might be one of the most liberating truths in Scripture. Our worth does not rise and fall with our productivity. We do not earn God's love by accomplishing enough. We do not become beloved because our ministries succeed. We are beloved before we ever begin. And we are, because we are beloved, we are free to love. Not from fear, not from obligation, but from gratitude. The church often worries about declining attendance, shrinking budgets, and uncertain futures. And those concerns are real. They are real. But perhaps Jesus would ask us a different question here today. Are we still bringing peace? Are people encountering healing when they meet us? Do our neighbors experience grace through our presence? Do those on the margins know they are welcome? Do the lonely find fellowship? Do the grieving find comfort? Do the oppressed find allies? And if the answer is yes, then the kingdom is already breaking in, because God's reign has never depended upon impressive numbers. It has always grown through faithful people carrying peace from one life to another. One conversation, one act of kindness, one courageous stand for justice, one forgiven enemy, one welcome stranger, a shared meal, an open heart. This is how the kingdom comes. Not all at once, but steadily, patiently, and faithfully. As followers of Christ, we are being sent. We're being sent into our communities. We're being sent into hospitals and classrooms and workplaces, into our own neighborhoods, nursing homes, you know, even our own families, our family gatherings. We're being sent into grocery stores, into communities that are aching for hope. And we may not feel especially qualified, but neither did those 72 unnamed disciples. But Jesus never asked them to be extraordinary. Only faithful, willing, and open enough to carry peace wherever they went. So, may we leave this place today remembering that we do not carry Christ into the world because the world lacks Christ. We carry Christ because Christ is already at work there, waiting to be recognized. We are simply invited to join what God is already doing. And as we go, may we travel lightly. May we let go of fear. We release the old dust. May we receive hospitality with humility. May we extend peace with courage. May we work for justice with compassion. And may every place we enter become just a little more whole because Christ has entered it with us. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
So would you stand and join in singing our last hymn, which is Without Him.
Wonderful, our congregation sings. Because we need Him, we can bring every broken piece, fear, and hope to his feet right now. So right now, I would like to lift up Brother Don Tabor. He right now is not doing very well with the medication that he's taking. So if you could please pray for him. I know that he and Cheryl and everyone appreciate it. Are there any other persons who need prayers? Julie? Keep the Tudor family in your prayers. Anyone else? Yes. Prayers for Kaylee. Sherry? Praying for you and Ronnie, your family. Anyone else? Okay, Amy. Amy.
Prayers for Shayla and Ship's Plants. And then a prayer of thanks for diagnosis for my mother, for heart and lungs and wine. She just has sleep apnea.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Prayers for Shayla and your mother, and that's wonderful news. Leah's. Lift up Leah's and her mother. Keep on in it. I'll be praying for you and your mom, your family. All right, anyone else? Caroline. Faith. She's 96 years old. There is a lot going on. There is. Prayers to you, Faith and Ann and Ann's family. Anyone else? All right, well, I'll ask Sister Ellen if she would come and lead in prayer and then the Lord's Prayer for us.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, you hear our cries. You hear our praises, God, and just as easily you hear what weighs our hearts. You hear the concerns, the illness, the fear. Be with each of those, God, each of those names that were lifted up in those families. Empower them with that peace that surpasses all understanding and courage to face each new moment, even whenever they know that moment isn't looking hot. We thank you. We thank you for calling us to be your people and for reminding us that your kingdom comes wherever love, compassion, and peace are found. As Jesus sent his disciples out into the world, send us too. Give us courage to bring peace where there is conflict, welcome where there is loneliness, and hope where there is despair. Help us to notice those who are overlooked and to love our neighbors with open hearts. When we feel uncertain or overwhelmed, remind us that we do not go alone. Your Spirit is with us and your grace is enough. And now, trusting in your love and care, we pray together as Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, as you go out from here, remember to carry peace with you first and foremost. May you hold that peace even whenever you are unwelcomed. Shake off that old dust and keep moving forward with the love of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.
Maternity leave, you know, that's good. Yeah. That's special.